Hello, and welcome to the NAO podcast. The NAO has conducted a study into the rapidly growing threat of online fraud. The study examined how the nature and scale of the threat of online fraud is growing and changing, as well as how the Home Office is working with police forces, police and crime commissioners, other government departments and agencies, and industry experts to prevent and reduce online fraud. I'm joined by Louise Bladen, a director who worked on the report. Thank you for joining me, Louise. Firstly, what does your report cover precisely?
Well, our report covers two main themes. It explores the nature and scale of online fraud, which is a rapidly growing threat, and then it looks at how the government and others have responded to that threat, as you explained. So just turning to the nature and scale of the crime, in 2016, we found there were an estimated 2 million online fraud incidents, which is about 16% of all crime, and it's the most commonly experienced crime in England and Wales. And at least 6% of adults were victims of fraud, and it can affect anyone. We were surprised by this, actually. We had some ideas that it might be particular types of people, but actually everyone is equally affected. And what's interesting is that online fraud now has lots of different variants. So, for example, it can be criminals accessing people's bank accounts, it can be using their plastic card details, or actually just tricking them into transferring money themselves. And what's interesting as well is that online criminals target thousands of people from anywhere in the world, so they're really hard to trace and prosecute. And that means the true cost of online fraud is unknown, but it's likely to be billions. One estimate of the annual cost to individuals is 10 billion. We also looked at how the government and others responded to the threat. So the principal body here is the Home Office, which is responsible for preventing and reducing online fraud. And our report looked at how it's working with others to do this, including through its new Joint Fraud Task Force, which it set up in 2016. And overall, we were concluding that online fraud is a high volume, often low value crime, and it's been overlooked for far too long by government, by law enforcement and industry. And the response simply hasn't been proportionate to the scale of the threat.
So what makes online fraud so challenging to tackle?
Well, I think there are three key things here. The massive scale and hidden nature of the crime, which I've already talked about. So there are 2 million incidents last year, but the crime is really severely underreported, as only about 20% of victims report it to the police. We found that in 2016, only 623,000 incidents were actually recorded by the police. And also, criminals are anonymous. They can commit fraud from overseas, as you mentioned, you know, it's an international crime, so it's not easy to pursue and prosecute. There's also lots of different organisations playing a role across the public and private sectors. So in government alone, you've got the Home Office, the Ministry of Justice, the Cabinet Office, the National Cyber Security Centre. You've got police forces, you've got industry, for example, the banks and retailers. Now, some of these organisations all come together under the new Joint Fraud Task Force. But actually, we found the task force has a fairly narrow focus just on the banking industry, and we felt it needed to grow. There's also a lack of data. So as well as the underreporting, even where data is available, we found it's not always reported or shared between industry, law enforcement and government.
And who is responsible for policing online fraud?
Well, it's actually quite a complex picture here. So the City of London Police is the national lead police force, and that police force oversees a body called Action Fraud, which is the UK's National Reporting Centre for Fraud. And also there's the National Fraud Intelligence Bureau, which leads on reporting and it passes cases to police forces for investigation. And at a more local level, you've got police forces themselves who are responsible for reporting fraud cases to Action Fraud and investigating cases passed to them by the National Fraud Investigation Bureau. Those forces are accountable to police and crime commissioners. So these are the people at a local level who set a force's priorities and work with local partners to prevent crime. At a more national level, you've got the National Crime Agency, which leads, supports and coordinates the response to serious and organised crime, including cyber-enabled fraud. And then you've also got the banks and industry who have a role to play in terms of making sure they protect the public from fraud. So quite a number of bodies all involved here.
Are there geographical disparities in the way online fraud is dealt with?
Well, the Home Office, as a sort of lead department, now sees online fraud as a national priority, and it expects local police forces to respond as such. But when we looked, we found that only 27 of 41 police and crime commissioners actually referred to online fraud in their police and crime plans. So that was quite surprising that not everyone had picked up on this. We also found that the local police response varies. So some forces are not really aware of their responsibilities for reporting to Action Fraud. Others may not prioritise or investigate cases, and that's usually due to a lack of skills and capacity. And sort of at a more local level, it's interesting because online fraud, it really requires a new and different type of response. But the focus is very much on neighbourhood policing. So one in six police officers' main function is neighbourhood policing. And this compares to only one in 150 whose main function is economic crime. But we did find some examples of good practice. Sussex Police is a good example here. They had an initiative to help bodies such as banks and charities identify potential victims.
And what part does educating consumers play in helping to reduce the risk of online fraud?
So the growing scale of online fraud suggests that many people are still not aware of how to keep safe online. So education is needed here. But it's about the lack of consistency and coordination in how these education campaigns are run. So we found that at March 2017, government and other bodies were running over 10 different campaigns. So there were different organisations running the campaigns, slightly different messages, not tailored for specific groups, and that can actually confuse the public and reduce the impact of the campaigns. There's also something about going beyond education. So that absolutely makes sense, and it's something that government needs to do. But it also needs to think about how it protects citizens. So how does it make the internet and email more secure? And, for example, the banks as well, they need to think about how they protect customer data.
And what does your report recommend?
So all our recommendations really centre around how the Home Office works with other partners. So firstly, the Home Office needs to work with partners on its task force, including banks and law enforcement agencies, to publish information on its performance and future plans. It needs to be clearer about the different responsibilities of all the partners involved for preventing and reducing online fraud. And also think about expanding its membership so that it goes beyond the bank to banks, to retail and digital sectors. We're also recommending the Home Office and the task force partners need to think about how it's establishing arrangements for identifying success. So how does it measure and track benefits? How does it set baselines for knowing what good looks like? Then there are intelligence gaps. The Home Office needs to work here with the City of London Police and the banks to improve the collection and reporting of data on fraud. And it should also work with police and crime commissioners and chief constables in local police forces to identify and share good practice models of policing for tackling online fraud, and really helping support police forces in making fraud a strategic priority. One thing we think could be useful here is if the Home Office commissioned HM Inspectorate for Constabulary, because they would be able to undertake a national thematic inspection of police forces' performance in tackling fraud. And finally, the Home Office needs to think about working closely with the Ministry of Justice to improve data on fraud prosecutions, to help inform future investigations and prosecutions, and also to examine the sentencing guidelines on fraud and whether the impact on vulnerable victims is taken into account sufficiently in sentencing.
Thank you for joining me today, Louise. If you would like to find out more about this report, the full version and an executive summary are available on our website, www.nao.org.uk. If you would like to keep up to date with the latest work of the NAO, you can also follow us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at NAOorgUK or on Facebook, www.facebook.com/NAOorgUK. Thank you for listening.